Chapter 30. Jesus, what the hell did I just see? Charlie asked, as the group of load-bearing men neared the ship.
Was Wampa? I tell you this already,
Tuk-Tuk replied.
I know, but his face. Was he drinking their blood?
Tuk-Tuk shuddered.
I tell you, very, very rare, but some Wampa take power from others.
So they drink blood. Holy shit. He's a motherfucking space vampire.
No, no, you mistake.
Oh, thank God, Charlie said with a sigh. I was about to get really freaked out there for a minute.
No, of course not. Would be impossible to have a society if everyone drank everyone's blood.
Okay, it must have just been the lighting or something.
Oh, no. Now that one, him drank blood.
But you said,
I say very rare. I see him show true self when Power Man come in to fight. Wampa was holding back until then, waiting for to see if stronger man come.
And when he did, he took his power?
Yes, good, Charlie, you learn.
Charlie was floored. A tricky vampire alien who sucked magical energy out of others and was a pretty badass fighter regardless. And he had just stuck his nose in the creature's business.
Way to go, Charlie, he groaned to himself, adjusting the load on his back, wondering if the whole thing might just come back to bite him in the ass, the dark humor of which was not lost on him. He increased his pace along with the others as their Tislaver guard forced them along at a brutal clip despite the size of their loads.
Hey, Tuk-Tuk, why doesn't anyone use wheels around here? He asked as the straps dug into his shoulders. I mean, it's nice to be out of the ship and all, but it would be more efficient and a whole lot easier than us carrying all this on our backs.
We carry because Captain Tour no wants spend for Druk-made sled.
So, no flying carts. Gotcha.
No, but telling me, what is wheels?
Round things that make carts move? You know, wheels.
Tuk-Tuk just looked at him with a confused expression. Then Charlie took a closer look around. He didn't know how he hadn't noticed it before. No one had a traditional cart. Even the rabble of the marketplace were using strange, floating conveyances powered by what Tuk-Tuk called magic. No one has ever invented the wheel around here?
I still don't understand what is wheel, Charlie.
Well, I'll be, he said, an odd little grin spreading across his face. I may just get to reinvent the wheel after all.
Charlie moved close to the other porter slaves as they lined up to carry their loads into the ship, quietly asking each of them if they'd seen another human like him, a female. He knew Rika was there somewhere. He had seen her taken aboard the ship when he was first captured, but there'd been no sign since then.
Oh, the new female, a stocky short fellow with enormous hands and deep red skin said. I've seen her. Keep her alone, they do. A cell at the far end of the ship near the rear storage. Heard her cries, I did. Late at night it was, but a tough one she is. The Tislavers seem frustrated when they come from her cell.
Charlie was both distressed and relieved. She was still on the ship, but they were mistreating her, likely as they had done to him. But the red man was right. Rika was a tough one, and even if she hadn't bathed in the healing waters, she'd be a tough nut to crack.
Where is your water container?
The Tislaver lugging their packs into the ship's stores asked, snapping him out of his thoughts.
There was a fight back on the way here. It must have come off with all the people running.
It is your responsibility. You lost a piece of your kit, he said, slapping Charlie across the face. You will have reduced rations until the cost of it is recuperated. Captain Tour may opt for additional punishment as well. Now get moving with the others and go back to your cell.
Great. Now I'm in the shit for helping a vampire. A space vampire, no less. The others had heard the Tislaver, and Charlie knew at least a few had seen what he did. But despite not knowing him, none, it seemed, were motivated to rat him out. The hatred of the Tislavers was a bond of mutual suffering they all shared. Sweaty and tired, Charlie flopped onto his cot as soon as they reached their cell, and fell asleep almost immediately.
It had been a several-day voyage to the next world under the Slaver's agenda, and oddly enough, Charlie found himself getting used to the fact that he was traveling farther and faster than any human ever had. In fact, in a mere week, he had been to more worlds than his entire species, save Rika, with whom he was currently tied. I'll bet she'll try to make a side deal to let her set foot on one more planet than I do, just to mess with me, Charlie mused with a little chuckle. He was missing his friend, and hoped they'd allow him to see her soon. That wish would be granted the following day. They landed on a planet called Oxen. The entire clutch of male labor from the ship was called out and lined up along its hull.
Listen up. We are on a tight schedule, so we will be moving quickly to gather our loads. The payment has already been made, so you will be traveling light on the way there. I expect you to be fast. If you fall behind and cause delay, there will be consequences.
That Slaver leading them was a different one than the other day, and Charlie had a feeling this one would be less sparing with the use of the shock collars by the look of him.
Okay, stay close, he said, then took off at a quick jog.
The line of slaves kept pace, unburdened by heavy loads, and Charlie almost found himself enjoying the chance to see another marketplace without the distraction of a massive weight crushing down on his back.
No, these not Buru markets, Tuk-Tuk had told them when they disembarked. This much nicer place. Buru is very tough. No want to be sold off there. Many bad people come to Buru. This market is largest on the entire planet of Oxen. Good place to be in.
I suppose I'll be grateful for that then. And they already made their transaction, so we'll only be carrying stuff one way. I tell you though, I really need to show you guys wheels. It'll change your life. In short time, they arrived at a large and pristine tent at the center of the market. Obviously, someone of wealth owned it.
Master Beanslar, the elfin man said,
bowing low in greeting to the ebony-skinned man with happy eyes who stepped out to greet him.
Dolomir, it is good to see you. You look well. Out for a bit of exercise, I see.
Yes, Master Beanslar, the run feels good. A nice stretch for my legs after many days in the void.
Yes, the voyage would be difficult in a craft as small as yours.
Small? I wonder what this guy is used to flying around in, Charlie wondered, but wisely kept his mouth shut. Mr. Beanslar walked through the ranks of men, studying each of them.
And you seem to have very good stock this visit, he said, squeezing the bicep of another blue-skinned Bantoon.
His appearance was very similar to Tuk-Tuk, though the other fellow was far stockier.
Perhaps I shall discuss an additional transaction with your captain after I've spoken with my wife. She is always on the lookout for good help, you know.
I will tell Captain Tor to expect your emissary then.
Oh, why so formal, Dolomir? I'll just contact him myself over my scree, he said,
tapping a small, highly decorated device resting in a little holster on his waist.
Tuk-Tuk, what's a scree? Charlie whispered.
It's for talking with person far away.
Ah, alien comms tech. Got it, thanks.
The dark-skinned man gave the ranks of porters another appraising glance, then walked back toward his tent.
My man will load your cargo around back. I'll send one of my conveyances to your ship to gather my payment shortly.
Thank you, Mr. Beanslar, their overseer said, turning to the group. You heard the man. Everyone around back. Load your packs full. We are doing this in just 2 trips if we can, out and back. You got it? Now let's go.
Charlie and the others were given massive amounts to carry, but his legs were growing stronger with every load he was forced to haul, and the walk back really wasn't so bad under the mild yellow sun. Not a bad day, he thought, satisfied at a relatively uneventful morning. But that would soon change.